सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
गुलशान वर्सेस 39 मिनट चैप्टर 3।
आवृतं ज्ञानमेतेन ज्ञानिनो नित्यवैरिणा कामरूपेण कौन्तेय दुष्पूरेणानलेन च आवृतं ज्ञानमेतेन ज्ञानिनो नित्यवैरिणा कामरूपेण कौन्तेय दुष्पूरेणानलेन च इन्द्रियाणि मनोबुद्धिः अस्याधिष्ठानमुच्यते एतैर्विमोहयत्येष ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनम् इन्द्रियाणि मनोबुद्धिः अस्याधिष्ठानमुच्यते एतैर्विमोहयत्येष ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनम् तस्मात्त्वमिन्द्रियान् यादौ नियम्य भरतर्षभ पाप्मानं प्रजहि एनम् ज्ञानविज्ञाननाशनम् तस्मात्त्वमिन्द्रियान् यादौ नियम्य भरतर्षभ पाप्मानं प्रजहि एनम् ज्ञानविज्ञाननाशनम् इन्द्रियाणि परान् याहुः इन्द्रियेभ्यः परं मनः मनसस्तु परा बुद्धिः यो बुद्धे परतस्तु सः इन्द्रियेभ्यः परं मनः मनसस्तु परा बुद्धिः यो बुद्धे परतस्तु सः एवं बुद्धे परं भूत्वा संस्तव्यात्मानमात्मना जहि शत्रुं महाबाहो कामरूपं दुरासदम् एवं बुद्धे परं भूत्वा संस्तव्यात्मानमात्मना जहि शत्रुं महाबाहो कामरूपं दुरासदम्।
Last verse we have seen, 38, he says, as fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror by dust, as an embryo is covered by the womb, so is this covered by it. The Atma in each individual, the self, is covered by desires. That is what he is trying to say here, just like how the fire is covered by smoke. And dust covering mirror and embryo being covered in the womb. The Atma is not visible because our thoughts have started running outwardly. The more the thoughts are running outwardly, the Atma in the person is not visible to that person. It is not as though the Atma is not there. Atma is there. The very fact that smoke is there, it only establishes that the fire is there. There can be no smoke without fire. But the problem is, smoke covers fire, as it were. Similarly, the desires, the vasanas, are covering the Atma. From a relative point of view, our intellect, buddhi, discrimination is covered by our desire. And a person is overpowered by the desire, his intellect doesn't function. Thus, the mirror's job is to reflect. The mirror doesn't become any less because the dust is covering it. Mirror's reflection is not seen because of the dust, but the mirror does not become any less. Similarly, the Atma in us never becomes any less due to our desires. But the desires doesn't allow our discrimination to function fully. So the problem here is desire ceases. Now he continues in 39. Avrutam jnanam etena, avrutam jnanam etena, jnanino nitya vairina, jnanino nitya vairina, kama rupena kaunteya, kama rupena kaunteya, duspurena nalena cha, duspurena nalena cha, avrutam jnanam etena, jnanino nitya vairina, kama rupena kaunteya, wisdom is covered by this constant enemy of the wise in the form of desire as insatiable fire. This desire he compares with fire. Alam means satisfaction. Analam means not satisfied. So fire, how much ever ghee you pour in fire, it only wants more and more and more. So he says, this desire is like that fire. Any amount of objects it is acquired, it still wants more. The very basis of vasanas is focusing on what you do not have. So how much ever you have, your vasanas will still be focusing on what you do not have. So at any given point of time, you will continue to be dissatisfied. So he says, this wisdom or in anybody is covered by this constant enemy, nitya vairinam. Vairi means enemy, nitya vairinam means constant enemy. This constant enemy can also be termed as friend. What is there in us as enemy today is because we have become slave to it. If we can make that as our slave, then it becomes our friend. This is what he says in the 6th chapter. Your mind alone is your friend, your mind alone is your enemy. But today, all of us are slaves to our desires. Therefore, the desires are our enemies. They destroy us. They take away our wisdom. Initially, when the thought started falling on an object, maybe little bit of wisdom was there. But over a period of time, when the desire took over, all your wisdom was lost completely. So there is, it is covered by this constant enemy. So scriptures constantly tell us the problem is your extrovertedness. You need to turn the mind, which is extroverted by nature, introverted. You remember that we discussed about Radha and Dhara. Dhara means thoughts flowing outward. Radha is thoughts flowing inward. So today we are all like Dhara. Thoughts are going externally, extrovertedly. That thought needs to be turned inward. So therefore, so the wisdom in each one is there. It is not that it is not there. Therefore, ignorance, when Vedanta says, Vedanta simply means by ignorance, your knowledge is there, but it is being covered. So nobody is a fool here. A fool simply means knowledge is being covered. The potential is there in everybody, but it is covered. In somebody it is covered, in somebody the covering is removed. When the covering can be removed in you, you also become a jnani. So that is why Vedanta clearly says there is no fool. Everybody is Atma. Like Jesus Christ said, there is no sinner. There is only sin. Hate the sin, not the sinner, because there is no sinner. Ignorance comes, overpowers, the wisdom has been covered, you do anything. You have not met the object of your meekness. Therefore you seek to be wise today. The day you meet with the object of your weakness, you also behave the same way that you do. Somebody is addicted to alcohol. You say he is an alcoholic. And the way he is behaving, because his wisdom has been overpowered by the object of alcohol. You are criticizing that person. What happens to you when you go to the shop? You are a shopaholic. You see the objects there, the desires are overpowering you there, you also behave the same way. The discrimination has been on. So each one, when they are tested in their area of weakness, then they know how much knowledge they have. We are all like very great Mahatmas, we are sitting and studying Gita. Right? The moment we get out, when we are on the streets, small little things show us our real strength. Then we really understand, oh, this is me. That was supported by the scripture. Now when I am left alone, I know my desire is more than my intellect. This is exactly what happens to anybody who is. Ravana was so well versed in Vedas. He chanted the entire Sam Veda. But when it came to his desires which overpowered him, his wisdom was ruined. Anybody coming and telling manufacturers will look like benefactors, benefactors will look like malefactors, you are in total delusion. So therefore he says, he is cautioning us, if you don't look at desire this way and become slave to it, it will ruin you. It's a great shakti, it's a great energy, but that should be under your control. You should not become its slave. So the Gita student is not warned to fight against desire. Gita student is only warned about the nature of desire. By becoming under its control, you will be finished. By keeping that under your control, you will have control in your life. So either you be the master of your life or be the slave. So Krishna says, O Kaunteya, wisdom is covered by this constant enemy of the wise in the form of desire. So the enemy is not outside. The enemy is in each one of us inside only. But the problem is we keep on blaming something outside because it is convenient for us to think that I am alright, the problem is only outside. How come when you were there in front of an object where you have no desire? A lot of people say, he has perfect control, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink. When you do not have a desire for cigarette, what kind of self-control can you talk about it? What happens to you in the area of your desire? It could be for anything, even studying Vedanta for that matter. You tend to become involved in the subject, supposing you had desire for Vedanta, and you forget that you have other obligations as well. Right? So you exactly are doing the same thing the other fellow is doing. Any area of desire, when we go, it overpowers like fire. Give me more, it never satisfies. Any amount of desire. Next verse. Indriyani mano buddhihi, Indriyani mano buddhihi, Asyadishtana mucchate, Asyadishtana mucchate, Etai vimohayat yesha,
एतै विमोहयत्येष ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनम् ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनम् इन्द्रियाणि मनो बुद्धिः अस्याधिष्ठानमुच्यते एतै विमोहयत्येष ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनम्
द सेन्सेस् Mind and intellect are said to be seen veiling wisdom through these. It deludes the embodied. Now, where is this desire? You have to locate it. So he says, how does it enter you? How does the desire enter you? First, it enters through the senses. The dwar through which the desire enters is senses. Then it goes and sits in the mind. Then it corrupts the intellect. So these are the three places in which it slowly enters. Right? You allow the dust which goes through your nose. Then it goes and affects your lungs. So it's just pointing out how the whole thing starts. So the seed for desire is said to be the senses, mind and intellect. The senses only bring the sense objects to the mind. Then mind goes on dwelling on them. Then the intellect is held hostage by the mind and it is powerfully told, give me reasons as to why I can do it. The job of the intellect is to stand apart and analyze, discriminate and tell us whether it is good for us to do. If it is good for us to do, how much to do, etc. But the problem is, once you allow the desire to come to the mind, and mind is overpowered by the desire, now the mind will keep the intellect under its hostage. Abhi, give me reasons. Why I am justified to buy 100 sari? 10th bit. You understand? It is held hostage by the mind. In the poem pond, that's what he talks about. The chick develops a desire to enter the pond when it sees the ducklings are playing. The mother bird has cautioned the chick, don't enter. So the chick is trying to reason, what we call as chicken intellect. The chicken intellect means intellect that is overpowered by the desire. So it's in fact, first thing it sees is my feet. First, it talks about the feet. Actually, the reason why the chick cannot swim is its feet. It sees that also. Yet, it rejects it. My feet, my this, my that. Then finally, it says, my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be drowned? Then it plunges into the pool. Before plunging into the pool, it says, I am really remarkably fond of water. I am really remarkably fond of alcohol. I am really remarkably fond of wealth. I am really remarkably fond of the opposite sex. I am really remarkably fond of this, that, and then and destroy myself. Then the intellect is held hostage by the mind to give reasons as to why it is justified in doing so. Isn't it? All of us justify, you know, sir. Aajkal, there is one more thing they use. Aajkal, zamana mein karna padta hai. We are all living in the world, not living in ashram. Now, nobody is asking you, right? But what are you doing is, your mind has clearly overpowered you. Now, your intellect is brought in to the context and made to give reason to justify the mind stance. This is what happens.
This verse is, I don't know, the thought that comes from mind, it's actually a little, it's like the borderline of a lot of things. Justification for action stemming from desire.
Yes.
So that when one thinks of the Mahabharata, the war is, again, one could say that it's all a justification for the war.
Which one?
Arjun being
edged
to, I mean, he
didn't
look at it very
no, if Arjun declared the war, if what you say may be acceptable. He never declared the war. They didn't want to fight.
You forget the context. Now suddenly, see, this is what I'm saying. If you forget the data that just present a little bit, which the, usually the politicians do, I don't know whether you are intending to come to politics. But anyway, the point is, you are forgetting the other data. The data is what? They tried their best, some discussion kiya, down bhi kiya. I remember, chod do, just give us 5 villages. Right? Sam, Dan, Ved, everything was tried, that group never agreed. And war was thrust on them, so they fought. Now you can't blame the fellow propelling the action just and trying to justify this way, because he exercised all other possibilities.
So in our eyes, we are faced with a similar situation. Then we try all the other methods, and then?
Yes. See, no, context is it. I don't know what you're talking about in alcohol or peer pressure in handbags, peer pressure in that and this. I don't know what you're talking about. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm talking about simple things. For example, you have a weakness, right, which is pressurizing you. But what do you say? No, in Delhi, everybody is like this, since I am in Delhi. So in other words, I have no problem. I don't have any problem in travelling in economy, but in Delhi, you see what I am trying to say? So,
that context is very different.
Yeah, that is what I am saying.
More like fighting for one's, what one thinks is one's rights. I'll discuss it much later.
Yeah.
It's a larger picture. So it just occurred to me that when one option is just full plate of sacrifice, and the other option is to then say that, okay, then there is a desire to hold on to your rights. The desire is there.
See, please understand. We will discuss this.
Let go.
We will discuss this later on. But next few verses is talking about those things, so we will be touching upon it. Therefore, I'm not going more into detail. And also specifically, we'll discuss this. We have discussed this before. Also, we'll discuss this specifically also. So what he's saying here is, there are sensual desires pertaining to the senses. There are emotional desires pertaining to the mind. There are intellectual desires pertaining to the intellect. So desires are there at all three levels. That also he is saying. Another thing what he is saying is, firstly, how anything enters you, you remember we have discussed this before, the senses are the doors. The door can be used for exiting, door can be used for entering. In the context of that verse, Apurya Mana Machala Pratishtam, I said this in the second chapter. In our case, we allow the world to enter through the senses. Right? And then we are also going out in the direction the senses are pulling us. The push-pull is happening. In the case of a jnani, senses enter, but he is not being carried away by the senses. So this is all Krishna is saying. The dwar through which the whole thing enters is senses. There's a book called First Things First by Stephen Covey. First things first. How does the whole thing begin? How did the whole thing begin? Ravana, Surpanaka went to Ravana and spoke to Ravana about Sita. Senses heard the beauty of Sita. Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view, not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames. The sight our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples and figs. Right? So in other words, the senses first, the perception happens. Then you say, I want that to be mine. Your mind does not rest content till it has become yours. And the interesting thing is, anything that becomes close to me, I am not thinking about it. Anything that is far off, I am always thinking about it. Atma is the closest to me, I am not thinking about it. Those things which are not there with me, I am thinking about it. When your family is with you, You are sitting and watching TV. When they have gone away, you are thinking about them. Shakespeare says, be thou familiar but by no means vulgar. You need to maintain that proper distance. Thodasa. If you become too close, whole thing is gone. So the desire enters, meaning the object enters the senses. Then the mind starts brooding over it. Then it develops the desire. Once it develops the desire, it tells it like, give me plan as to how I can achieve that object. Before that, tell me, am I not justified? And intellect says, yes sir, you are justified for these reasons. And then, therefore sir, now I will tell you, these are the ways in which you can go about achieving it. Once you are justified, then you will not have any guilt. You know, if you give reason for something, then it is justified. Then you will not have any guilt. This is what we are all doing. So intellect is said to be seen, veiling wisdom through these, it deludes the embodied. He first locates the cause. It is very important. So therefore, any problem comes, all that you need to do is first go to the root of the problem. The cause. What is the cause? Here it says, entering through the senses. While somebody is entering, if you don't stop them at the door, having allowed them to enter, now it becomes bigger problem to deal with them. Somebody said, please have this. You are already full. Huh? But you said, chalo, and you put it inside. Now, when they just gave it to you, offered you, if you had said no thank you, and then and there you said no thank you, they would have gone with that thing that they were offering. But you said, let me have it. Once it is gone inside your stomach, then it is creating problem. You said, why allow it only? This is what Krishna is about to say now. We'll chant verse number 41. Tasmat vamindriyan yadau, tasmat vamindriyan yadau, niyamya varatarishabha, niyamya varatarishabha, papanam prajahihenam, papanam prajahihenam, jnana vijnana nashanam, jnana vijnana nashanam, tasmat vamindriyan yadau, niyamya varatarishabha, papanam prajahihenam, jnana vijnana. So how do you have to handle this is what he talks about here. How to first he is located, it is there coming through the senses, then occupies the mind, then the intellect. That is how it destroys you. Now okay, I understand all these things. Now how do I control this? So he says, therefore, Bharata Rishabha. Bharata Rishabha means bull among men. You are a bull man, bull of the Bharatas. You are a strong person. He is basically trying to say, a really strong person is one who is able to control his senses. If your desires are under your control, you are strong. If your desires are not under your control, you are the weakest fellow. This is what he is basically trying to say. Controlling first the senses. Tasmatvam indriyan yadav niyamya. Niyamya. Niyamya means control. Having controlled the senses. First you have to control your senses. So spirituality is to do with controlling your senses. Now this sense control needs to be understood correctly, because a lot of people have misunderstood this sense control to think that it is sense denial or sense eradication. Indeed, killing this sinful destroyer of knowledge and wisdom, you have to first control the senses and kill this sinful destroyer of knowledge and wisdom. In fact, a person who is highly involved in sense activities, even knowledge cannot enter in him. Forget about wisdom. Because he is totally in the world. He is not available at all to listen. He is totally deluded, the happiness is there and he is going through and he is not even there to listen to you. So, jnanam itself cannot enter. There is Brahman and that Brahman you are. And finally wisdom comes and says, yes, I am Brahman. That Brahman am I. All this is not possible if you do not practice sense control. Without any control over senses, it is impossible to attain Atma. So even if you go to Ashtanga Yoga, they talk about Yama, Niyama. Then the Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Jnana, Samadhi. First is Yama, Niyama. Sense control. How can you get into meditation when you can't even concentrate? And you can't concentrate because you have no sense control. Your mind is wandering here and there, your senses are roving. How can that fellow sit in concentration or meditation? So without side by side practicing sense control, it is impossible to conquer the self totally. Impossible to attain Atma. But the problem is, we are studying Gita also and side by side indulging in the senses also. And then we say nothing is happening, therefore Gita doesn't work. Here in Gita what is he saying? Firstly, control your senses. By plucking your eyes, you think you can conquer the desire to see? In fact, when your eyes are plucked, your mind wants to see more. All your energies kind of get consolidated in that particular sense. Isn't it? Supposing I keep something and I hide it here like this. Suddenly all of you want to just see, find out what is that is hiding. Isn't it? Till now, you didn't even bother about me. But now all your attention has come as to what is there is hiding. What is that? It's very... In other words, then you are denied. The day they tell you who was. You know, understand? All your thoughts are going towards food. So this is not sense control. So control means what? Control happens when you are watching. When you are observing. That is control. You want to control your children also. How do you control your children? Just look at them, watch them, observe them. Then they say, sorry, I will not do it again. You don't have to do anything. Just watching them, observing them. Right? If you forcefully tell them don't do it, then they will want to do it. They will in fact wait for you to go somewhere and then they will do it. So here he is not talking about sense denial, he is talking about sense control. So firstly you have to have sense control, then you will have to have mind control, then you will have discrimination. So the process is this, first Dhamma, then Shama, then Viveka. So we are now sitting and gaining the Viveka. But this, for this Viveka to go deeply inside you, first you must practice Dhamma, sense control. But in sense, you allow your senses to roam. Obviously when the senses have been roaming, you have allowed so many things to go inside and the mind has developed more and more vritti, thoughts. It is going here and there. What kind of discrimination can happen in that person? It's impossible. So always control means watching. Watching means what? Identifying with subtler aspect and watching the grosser aspect. So for you to watch the senses, you have to go beyond the senses. Identify with something that is beyond the senses. Being at the sense level, you can't watch it. Can you watch it? Being at the same level? To watch it, you have to go to the level which is one step beyond. So that is why we have mentioned this many times, we have even had thorough discussion on this. If you really want to conquer anything, do that mindfully. If you want to get rid of gluttony, overeating, eat mindfully. Huh? Supposing you stop eating forcefully, what will happen? Your mind will be filled with food. When your mind is filled with food, are you in upavas? You are residing near God. That is what upavas means. But now you are not residing near God. You are sitting near God, but you are residing near food. Is this upavas? On the contrary, there may be people sitting near food but residing near God. Like says Durvasa. It is said that once says Durvasa had come the other side of Yamuna, and the gopis were going with lot of food for Durvasa, and there was rain, heavy rain, and the river was flooded, so they could not go across. So they asked Krishna, give us some idea how we can go that side. So he said, close your eyes and pray. If sage Durvasa is Nitya Upavasi, you please part and give us way. So they prayed and it gave way. They went that side. They had taken food for almost hundreds of people. All the food was taken, consumed by Durvasa. Before they didn't know that Durvasa eats that much. So they prayed saying, if Durvasa is Nitya Upavasi, constant faster, please part. It parted. Now while coming back again, the river has to part for them to get this side. Now they are not having the same conviction to say that. Because they just saw Durvasa eating so much food. How can they say if he is Nitya Upavasi? You understand? So they asked Durvasa, what should we say now? He said, say the same thing. If it parted that time, it should part now also. Try it out. So they said the same thing, suppose it and it parted. So what it means is, in his mind, he was always a watcher. He was never an enjoyer. He was never a doer. As long as you are a doer, you can never have control over the senses. As long as you are an observer, as a watcher, then you will have control over your senses. But the problem is, we will stop doing but retain the doership. We will never be watcher. You understand? So control has been misunderstood. Control means push that thing. Deny that, forcefully pluck that egg, burn the particular senses, thinking that once the senses has gone, how will the desire be there? In fact, all your energy starts getting concentrated there, you would want more. You have actually created more problem for yourself. This is what is happening. If you want to really conquer anything, it is not by suppressing it. It is not by frustrating yourself. It is by consciously going through your life. It is by bringing in identification with subtler level and looking at the grosser aspects. So you have a desire for something and you have formed a habit, you formed an addiction. Now to get rid of that, if you deny that fellow 100% fully, you will only want more. You slowly educate him on higher aspects, ask him to identify with the higher aspect and function, then slowly the lower will drop by itself. So now Krishna is going to educate Arjuna on the higher realms within. Indriyani paranyahu
Indriyani param yahu Indriyevya param manaha Indriyevya param manaha Manasastu para buddhihi Manasastu para buddhihi Yo buddhe paratastu saha Yo buddhe paratastu saha Indriyani param yahu Indriyevya param manaha Manasastu para buddhihi Yo buddhe paratastu saha
If you can memorize this verse, please memorize. It's not very difficult. Indriyani param yahu. Indriyani parani ahu. They say greater than the senses. Firstly, senses are said to be greater. Then greater than the senses is mind. Then greater than the mind is intellect. Greater than the intellect is he, saha, means atma. Saha is taking you towards subtler and subtler realms in the personality. So firstly, subtle, supreme means subtle, which means all pervasive, which is more pervasive, which is the closest to you. Subtlest is the closest to you. So he says, senses are great, no doubt. Senses can go up to a limit only. Right? But mind can go even where senses cannot go. You may be sitting here and your vision is limited to the walls of the room. But your mind is gone to some other country. You understand? Mind is even greater. Also, when your mind is preoccupied in some work, senses don't even register the object. I came there, you didn't even wish me. Hare Baba, you came fine. Maybe you came, but I didn't even see you. Why I didn't see you? Because my mind was preoccupied. Some problem was there. I was worried how it is going to get solved. So I didn't look at you, I looked through you. Therefore, the senses, when the mind is focusing on something else, senses become useless. You understand? And similarly, your mind may be sitting and roving, going on daydreaming, so many things. But the moment you bring your awareness, it cannot daydream. It can only daydream as long as the buddhi has not interfered. The moment buddhi interferes, it cannot daydream. Children will be making so much of noise. Suddenly when the teacher walks in, automatically they will keep quiet. So the mind behaves like a child till the intellect has not interfered. So intellect is more subtle. You're mechanically driving, mechanically you're using your steering and all that. Suddenly some object comes in between, you apply the brake, then does your mind go here and there? That is why we say your real enemy is when things are going fine. When things are not going fine, generally you are a little bit aware and alert. This is what Kabir is also saying. Dukme se miran sab kare, sukme kare na ko. Means what? During difficult situations, many of us are kind of alert. But when things go normal, routine thing is happening, you suddenly become daydreaming, complacent. Mind takes over. So therefore a lot of people have to keep themselves very busy. They will feel as if they are fine because they are very busy. You give them vacation, free time, they will destroy themselves. They know what to do. Mind, when you give free time, awareness is gone, you bulldoze yourself. You don't need anybody else to come. But when you are busy, Monday to Friday, you don't do any nonsense. Saturday, Sunday, chalo, gambling karenge. Bottoms up. You understand? All that happens when you have nothing to do. Right? So we think when we are busy, I'm okay. Vedanta says, no, you are not okay because you have really not identified with the subtle things. It is just that situations are such that it is keeping you alert. When some free time comes, you will finish yourself. If you really want to finish people, give them holidays. Nothing else you have to do. Just make them, or make them do the same routine thing. Alert. Moment your intellect comes in, mind pays. So mind is more subtler than the senses. But mind is not subtler compared to the
intellect.
In the deep sleep, when the mind is not there, no thoughts are there in deep sleep. Isn't it? There are no thoughts. But the intellect next day comes and reports. There was nothing. Who is reporting?
Intellect.
It is the intellect. Then when you finally go and reach the Atma within, there even intellect is not there. Because there are no two things. Intellect requires two things for discrimination. When you go to the Atma, there is only Ekam. There is no two things. Even intellect is
gone.
So Atma is the subtlest. You understand? So in other words, if you really want to gain control, you have to go and identify with the subtler aspects. This is what he is saying here. So understand how your personality is made up of. Atma is the inner core. Above that is intellect. Above that is mind. Above that is
senses.
In other words, more surface a thing is, more
gross
a thing is, more weak it is. More deep a thing is, more strong it is. Relationships also, when it is uber, little problem comes, they delete your contact number from the mobile phone. Achha, income tax raid ho gaya uska, then khatam, you understand? That's it. You will know exactly who your friend is, depends on how deep the identification is. So, this is also something we understand from this. So, the more a person is identified with the grosser things, he will have more fear. He is so weak. Right? But a deep fellow, he is not that weak. Similarly, relationships also, from what is it coming? If somebody is friendly with you due to your bank balance, then that friendship is gross level. That will wither away fast. Something that is coming not because of your wealth, it is coming because of your character, because of your other things, that will be deep. So therefore he says, if you want to gain control of your senses, you must identify with the mind. Mindfully do things. Anything you do, do it mindfully. Don't do things mechanically now. Even spiritual activities. So everything we keep on doing mechanically. Without your knowledge, your hand will go, take up the book and read mechanically. Now you start doing it consciously. When you start doing it mindfully, consciously, you will see that your senses become your
slave.
It becomes your, under your control. Similarly, when you do it with alertness, bringing your intellect, then the mind will behave. So identify with subtler aspects of life, not with the gross. In other words, from dhara become radha, turn this side, that's all. But if you forcefully remove the senses, you will in fact become more of dharma. Not only that, you have burnt the eyes now. Desire is increased. In the contrary, now you do not have eyesight. You will be the most frustrated fellow. At least before you had the eyesight. Now what has happened is you have thrown it away. This is what I would tell you for your question. You have a desire. Now you are saying sacrifice. What sacrifice will you do? Physically you will give it up. Mentally you will be craving for it much more now. You understand? So therefore you have to be sensible in your approach. So ultimately sacrifice simply means what? Identifying with Atma. Like that sage Durvasa. He was eating his food, but he was always a watcher. So there are only two sets of people you will see. Those who are fighting for their rights and those who are mindlessly sacrificing and becoming frustrated individuals. Both are wrong. Instead what Krishna is saying is you don't have to give up anything. You start watching. Start becoming a watcher. This is very difficult to do. Relatively. You need to understand the subtler aspects. So what do we do? In the world today, people who have burnt their senses, everybody will go and fall at their feet. What a great man you are. You have plucked your eyes as though there is something good. If I come and pluck your eyes, you will put me in jail. But if I pluck my own eyes, you will come and fall at my feet. What sort of nonsense is this? Mind is like a pendulum, you know. When it is going towards materialism, it is taking momentum to go towards people who have given up material things. And those people who have given up mechanically the material things, their mind is actually taking momentum towards money, money, money inside. This is the nonsense going on. Just think about it. How do I become great? Simply because I have denied my senses. What a great man. He eats only once in a year. Big deal it is, as if he is a great man just because of that. On the contrary, if somebody is eating every day, three times, but absolutely no identification with food whatsoever, you will not even recognize him. What sort of a great person is he? Krishna was not a sannyasi. He was not in upper robes. Believe me, we have studied from childhood days that Krishna is God and all that. Now you are so conditioned that you go and pray to Krishna. But believe me, supposing you don't know anything about Krishna and Krishna were to come and sit next to you, you will say, my God, he is the most intelligent fellow, fully decked up with all jewels possible. All the time coming only with gopis. I can't find any man with him. Only gopis all the time. And you will you consider him as a God? Playful. This man, be serious here. How can he be spiritual? You understand? We have got all our spiritual concepts wrong. So he says, understand the subtler aspects compared to the senses. Mind is superior. Subtler. Compared to the mind, intellect is superior. Compared to the intellect, Atma is superior. So you must constantly gain the higher knowledge, identify with the higher, become a watcher, do things objectively and gain control over the senses. Next verse, last verse. Evam buddhe param buddhva, evam buddhe param buddhva, samstavyatmanam atmana, samstavyatmanam atmana, jahi shatrum mahabaho, jahi shatrum mahabaho, kamarupam durasadham, kamarupam durasadham, evam buddhe param buddhva, samstavyatmanam atmana, jahi shatrum mahabaho, kamarupam durasadham. Thus knowing that which is greater than the intellect and restraining the self by the self, O Mahabhava, kill the enemy in the form of desire hard to conquer. He said, Arjuna asked a question, why is it even though I don't wish to do something, I still do? He asked this question, right? Then he said, because of kama and krodha, rajo guna samudbhavaha, desire is your problem. And where is, how the desire is coming? It's coming through the senses, mind and intellect. And desires are covering your atma, your discrimination doesn't function. So you have to gain control over the senses. How do you gain control over the senses? Firstly, understanding it is coming through the senses. You have to gain control over the senses. You can only gain control over the senses by identifying with the subtler aspects of your life. So he says, thus knowing that which is greater than the intellect, atma. Constantly identifying with atma, becoming a watcher, restraining the self by the self. Restraining the self by the self means what? Atmana, atmana, atmana. Atmana, atmana. Atmana, atmana means restraining the self by the self. Restraining the mind by the intellect. Intellect identifying with the atma, not with ego. When intellect identifies with ego, it says, I am the doer. I am superior. I am the enjoyer. When intellect identifies with atma, it understands, I am not the doer. Senses are contacting the sense objects. I have nothing to do with. This is what is called as remaining objective. We studied about this when we studied about gunas. Gunas in me are relating with the gunas in the object. I have nothing to do with it. Because I understand that I am Atma. When I am seeing senses, then senses become my tool. When I am the senses, I am being used by the senses. Senses are not my tool, I am not using my tool. Are you with me? So what he is saying is, Atmana Atmanam simply means you are not having the doership or enjoyership, you are simply watching. You are simply being a witness. How you are able to be a witness? By gaining higher knowledge, higher wisdom, identifying with the Atma, with it. Seeing it rather than being dragged away by it. So you have to gain the higher knowledge and withdraw from the senses. You can't only withdraw without supplementing with higher knowledge, you lead to frustration. And higher knowledge cannot enter you without sense control. So you have to do both sense control and take in higher knowledge simultaneously. And you can't do it beyond your capacity, and you have to do it according to your, and you have to do it consistently. So what is he saying here, Krishna? You have to practice self control, sense control. And you have to gain higher knowledge. So that is why we say, switch off your mobile phone or put it in silent mode. Right? Agar mobile phone is ringing, some music is going on side by side, and you say, you keep talking. What kind of thing can go into you? You understand? While to the extent you are practicing self-control, to that extent knowledge can go in. And to the extent knowledge has gone in, to that extent you can practice self-control. They supplement and complement each other like two pedals of a bicycle. You understand? And this you have to do according to your capacity, and you have to do it consistently. When you do this, then you will gain control over the desire. The problem is, when we are studying this, we remember, Indriyani paran yahuhu Indriyevya param manaha Manasastu para buddhihi Yo buddhe paratastu saha. You remember this. But when you go out, what happens? Bhul gaya. Right? And again next day morning, Indriyani paran yahuhu. This will go on. No, you have to have basic sense control. So even you have to go to the extent of that which is not that conducive for your spiritual things, temporarily remove it. Not because you want to deny that. Right? But don't overdo it. Then you will lead to frustration. And every now and then when you have to contact it with awareness, but quickly get back to the subject. Thus slowly he says, this is the way, O Mahabaho, you will kill the enemy in the form of desire who is hard to conquer. He is hard to conquer does not mean he is impossible to conquer. It is difficult. Krishna himself is accepting. It is difficult to move from the sense level to the mind level. To move from the mind level to the intellect level. To move from the intellect level to the Atma level. It is difficult, but it is not impossible. But start with what? Dharma. Sense control. I don't want to do anything with sense control, but I want to have control over my desire, not possible. Bacteria, you say, poor chap, let him enter my system. Once it enters, then what does it do? Multiplies. Becomes 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. Goes on. Then it finishes you. So therefore, sense control should be supplemented by higher knowledge according to your capacity, and by doing it consistently, you will gain control over desire. Om Tatsat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Karma Yoga Nama Tritiyo Dhyaya. Thus in the Upanishads of the glorious Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is basically the essence of Upanishads. The science of eternal, the scripture of yoga, the dialogue between Shri Krishna and Arjuna ends the third chapter entitled Yoga of Action. We have the tradition to humble ourselves to believe that we have not finished or completed a chapter today. We have only started. So to uphold the tradition, we'll chant verse number 1 of chapter 3 together.
Arjuna uvacha jayasi chet karmanaste jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani gore ma niyojayasi keshava Arjuna uvacha jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani gore ma niyojayasi keshava. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.